This is scary. We have three verses yet. Actually, we didn't. This scripture just sprung us into something today, so we weren't trying to preach the scripture. That's what happens, though. You read something, and then it triggers and springs more. But I do want to get through these three scriptures yet. We're in 2 Corinthians 5. And you guys, Dean and Joan, you'll be able to get the CD of yesterday. Then it'll really help you connect with, well, today too, because you guys are just rolling in so good. Glad you're here. But it'll be really, yesterday to me, I don't know about you guys, not looking for encouragement or a cheer on, but yesterday seemed real clear and important. It just seemed real foundational and healthy. It really seemed good. So it'll be, and we really just, I don't even know where we went today. So get the tape. But watch this. Okay, so you guys are just kind of jumping in, but I'm just trusting that grace will just hook you up here, okay? When we're touching others, when we're loving others, this is what we're called to. This is what we've received, and this is what we're called to. It's the ministry of reconciliation. Why? Because we're in Christ. We're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Verse 17, behold, all things have become new, and now all things are of God. So it's God's will that you be new, and it's God's will that you have all things concerning Him, life and godliness. So this is where we were this morning, then we went off somewhere else for about an hour and a half. Now look, now all things are of God. Verse 18, who has? You've got to get this. I keep emphasizing these past tense words. He has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. As far as He's concerned, on His end, He subsided the wrath of sin against mankind, and He has settled it. He has reconciled us to Himself. He has. Now, you have to receive that reconciliation. You have to know you've become a friend to God. You have to accept that and say, God, You have loved me from the beginning. There is nothing I could have ever done to change Your mind about me. You know who I am. You have made me Yourself. I am the will of God. And I thank You. You have made me a friend to You. Now, we have struggled with that at large in the church. And we're trying to measure up insecurity. We need somebody to boost us, encourage us, tell us we're awesome. Who knows, it's great if somebody sincerely comes up and means it and says, hey, you're awesome, you know. But the key is we already know that because Jesus came. So we're just edifying one another in a truth that we already know, right? And there's times people need to be rescued from lies and you need to intervene and just really speak truth into them to get them. But, you know, don't believe that that has to be our resume. Don't believe you have to have high and lows. Okay? If you believe you have to have high and lows, you're going to have plenty of your lows. I don't even understand the low thing. You know, people, there's teachings out there going through your dark night. I don't know. I thought identity came and is established. When does that change? What do you mean dark night? Maybe you just mean circumstance, the dark night of the soul. You know, I've heard that phrase and explained and taught, and I just don't connect, and nor am I going to connect. You know, if I, we're not talking about Batman. But see, even Watts, no, that was probably more prophetic than you think. Even Batman in the dark night, he's still Batman. And he's still got all the gadgets and he still comes out with victory, right? So he's still, here's the key. That's good. Thanks. He's still Batman. Right? No matter what advantage, who is it? The Joker has. No matter how it looks like him and Robin are going down. You brought Batman into the sermon. And all of a sudden you have to realize he's still Batman. Right? What we do is we so identify with the trial and the trouble, we forget who we still are. And we start relating to the crisis instead of the Christ that's in us. Now watch. Who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and look, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now look, when you know you're reconciled, you'll walk in the ministry of reconciliation. The easiest way to forgive others is knowing you're forgiven. You don't forgive to be forgiven. You forgive because you're forgiven. That's how grace works. You're not showing mercy so you get a little bit of mercy. You're showing mercy because you've obtained and received mercy. So you've become merciful in that mercy because it saved your life. Right? So He has given us all things, and He has given us what? He's reconciled us to Himself and He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now look how He did that. This is so amazing. That is, now he's explaining it. That's what that phrase is there for. That God was in Christ, so it was God that was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. How? Not imputing their trespasses to them.
Right. What does that mean?
Huh?
What does that mean?
Not holding it against them, not marking them for their sin. This is why an unbeliever can be healed. This is why Jesus came and everybody He touched was healed. Because God, through Him, wasn't imputing their trespasses, or they're under the law of sin and death, and there's a price to pay. He was the price paid. Jesus. Watch this. Not imputing. So for you to be reconciled is knowing your sins aren't held against you. Reckoning yourself dead to sin and living from that day. That day. It's a moment called repentance. You reckon yourself dead to sin, and from that day on, till the day you're with Jesus in that age to come, you're righteous. Why? Because you're reconciled and He hasn't imputed your sin against you. Does that give you permission to sin? That puts such an integrity in you, if you'll dare receive that, and such an honor and a diligence that you'll actually walk in righteousness and produce your fruit to holiness. And if you do stumble, it'll so be not who you are in your heart. You'll run to Daddy God and thank Him for the light that saves you and spares you from deception and the love that keeps you strong. You get it? We've been reconciled, and it's so that that our lives say to others, man, be reconciled. Be reconciled. Be reconciled to God. Why? Because He's not judging me for what I deserve. Right? Mick, you had your hand up.
I've often thought of the imputation, which is what's imputing, that though we deserve that tag of the trespasses,
right.
Christ says, I'm not leaving you with that ID.
We're not wearing
that away from you. I'm not leaving you with it. I'm not imputing it.
Absolutely. And it'll even further put words to that. It's exactly what it is. Watch this. So all things are from God, and we're reconciled to Himself through Christ Jesus. And He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. So, not imputing their trespasses. The fact that He came and gave His life was showing He was looking past our sin. He wasn't asking us to do anything to make up for anything except repent, change where you're living from, change the why behind your life, repent, change the way you think, because I'm here. That's the only part that we're to play. Repent. You get it? This is so powerful. Well, watch. Now then, we are ambassadors. Man, do you look up the word ambassador? Well, I can for you real quick. I have an anointed Bible. I don't even have a computer or an iPhone, but I can look up this word. Literally, to be the elder, later to be an ambassador, a representative of a ruling authority. Ambassadors would be chosen from the ranks of mature, experienced men. To be an ambassador for Christ necessitates spiritual maturity. It means to fully represent, to stand on behalf of one. Whoa. You get it? Actually, you're going and representing the name of another, the personhood of another. You're an ambassador to Christ. That's why it's important to be one with Him and commune with Him and not just try to be a good Christian. Because your life bears witness of Him. Does that make sense? Now watch. So Jesus didn't come to... He didn't come... His light shows us what's wrong with us. His truth, His message, if you hear it, actually cleans your life. But He didn't come and with a bullhorn and tell us what's wrong with us. He came to tell us to be reconciled with God, to repent. My kingdom's here and you're part of it. You're one with me. You're created to be one with me. Would you repent and come to me? You get it? He didn't come to point out, He didn't even come to point out sin. And I have it on my phone machine. Jesus' cross doesn't expose your sin. It removes your sin. I have that right on my phone machine. Now don't be ringing my phone all the time. It rings so much. It's been ringing, believe me. And then my good friends call and say, hey, John, my buddy John, bless his heart, I love him. Got a three-way for you. Can you call so-and-so? Like, yeah, I was looking for something to do. Yeah, just hanging here waiting for your call. Regis.
Just so you know, he's calling me now.
No, what is he?
I've been telling him to call you and others for years. He actually doesn't call me much anymore, but every once in a while. And it's all good. John's awesome. I love John. Watch this. Okay. Man, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. He has committed. Did you notice how slow I take and how many times I read something? That's because that's the way I live. That's why I teach that way. I don't read fast to know, just to read the chapter. I camp. Did you notice I camp and go over it and over it and then talk for an hour about one thing? I do that in my own life with Holy Spirit. And it gets alive in me. Okay? Because we could read it. Dean and I could sit and have a Bible study and read it and know what it says. But is that our goal? It's to become what it says. Okay. Now then. Oh, now then. Since this is established, that means it's supposed to be established. He's saying, now then. So let's get on with this thing, right? He's even saying, okay, Dan, now then. No. Now then, meaning, here's what it means. Now that this is settled. Do you get it? Now that this is settled, this is a done deal. You are reconciled with God. You are equipped and qualified to be an ambassador because your sins haven't been imputed against you, and you're to live in that same ministry of reconciliation, not judging a book by its cover, not regarding men according to the flesh, not trying to just tell men if they don't change their life, they're going to go to hell. That isn't what Jesus came telling us. He was telling us we were never created for hell. We're not even worthy of hell. We're worthy of sonship is really what His message is. You know, hell's for false gods, right? So why live apart from Him by being a god unto yourself? Hell wasn't made for people. It was made for false gods. It was made for fallen angels. Why let them reproduce themselves, their attitudes and their mentalities in flesh that's made in the image of God and reap the same suffering when you're created for sonship? Hello? So it's not about stop doing what you're doing or you're going to go to hell. It's showing somebody why would you live that way when you're created to be a son? God loves you and He's not even holding your trespasses accountable. And the only way you feel that way is because of this, this. You explain somebody's situation in life through the fall of man, through the truth. So it's not even pointing out sin. It's pointing out their calling, their destiny, and inspiring them to a higher place. Do you get it? Isn't that what Jesus did? And in the process, exposed what needs to change in our life, right? It's obvious to us if we really just read our Bible, if something's in our life that's not in agreement with God, it's just exposed in the light, right? But who reads their Bible do this, don't do this. If you're a Christian, you better not do this. Come on, that's not how you read your Bible. So that's not how you preach the gospel. Well, maybe that is how you read the Bible. If you do, knock it off. Don't do it. Don't do it. Right? You hear what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that is not the healthy perspective. Come on, if you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Sermon on the Mount, that's an impossible Christian life without the grace of God. The grace of God brings you into agreement with that. Okay, now watch. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God, look at this, as though God were pleading through who? Through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. So we're ambassadors for God now, just the way Christ was when he came. As though God were now pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Isn't that beautiful? Oh my goodness. For he made him, look at this, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now right there is the Christian life and the Christian calling all in one. Right there. Ministry of reconciliation. As if God were pleading through us now. Man, be made friends with God. Be made friends with God. Look, he's willing to look past your trespasses. It's not about pointing out sins in a man's life as much as God's willingness to forgive those sins. I would encourage you to take a little section of scripture like this, because it starts in verse 14 where he gets on this truth like big time. And he talks about love compelling him to judge something that if one died, then all died. And it just keeps amplifying down through the chapter. That if one died, then all died. So how can I not see you apart from sin? Okay, look at verse 20. This thought just popped in me because I preach it all the time. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. That's what we're pleading to the world, right? Because we're ambassadors of reconciliation. That's why Jesus said in John 20, he says, Nancy, if you forgive the sins of any, they'll be forgiven. But Nancy, if you don't forgive the sins of any, they won't be forgiven. Why? Because she's the ambassador on his behalf pleading to men. And if she lets her heart get hard through lawlessness against her and shuts down the mercy of God, how will men know the mercy of God when she's his ambassador? When do you have permission to be in unforgiveness? Then why is he talking about retaining sin? Because he's sending you as his ambassador. That's why you can't let your heart get hurt. It'll even twist your prayer life. You'll pray because you're hurt. Your prayer will screen through hurt. And it'll be self-serving, and it could lead to all kinds of things. You have to guard your heart, because out of your heart flows the issues of life. You can't afford to be offended. You can't embrace one mindset that justifies offense, because if you try to pursue forward spiritually, it's from the foundation of offense now, and it twists your ears and eyes. You getting me? That's why when you come into this thing, you deny yourself. Or we're in trouble. Now, that doesn't mean that we're damned and doomed if we're in a growing process. But from your heart, you need to deny yourself. And God's able to work out the kinks. Who knows God can, this growing process. And who knows that we're not thrown into perfection where we're never again going to walk and not even face the feelings of offense. Who knows that? Offenses must come. That means the ability or the temptation or the opportunity to be offended at all is always before you. But it doesn't tell you to ever be offended. But because you're in the world, the possibility is always there. And woe to those who are what? Creating that opportunity. Why? Because they're unredeemed and unchanged. Woe to those who the offense comes through. Why? Because they're actually working on behalf of another, they're ambassadors of another realm, and they're actually promoting this war. They're being used to provoke offense when we're created to walk in love. But it doesn't ever say in that process that you have to bite the bait and become offended. I've heard preachers preach, well, brother, you know, offenses must come. We're all going to be offended. No, that means the opportunity to be offended, the potential to be offended, the situations that cause offense will always be before you. Do you think Jesus died on the cross and gave his life because he was offended at humanity? Do you think there's a Pharisee in heaven today from the Bible days that's in eternal life today because Jesus was offended? No, there'll be Pharisees in eternal life. People that were Pharisees, they're not Pharisees now. I mean, Bible in the Gospels, the guys that were Pharisees, some of them guys got saved. Guaranteed. It actually says right before they crucified him that many believed. But they didn't speak up because they were afraid of men. They were afraid of what the leaders would say. Many believed, but they didn't speak up because they were still caught up in the honor of men. Excuse me. Instead of God. And you have to realize that once he raises from the dead and Holy Spirit's on the earth, and now he's convicting men of sin and righteousness and judgment, that there was a great work in the hearts of people that already believed. Some of these Pharisees came out of secret. Some of these Pharisees got converted. It's unquestionable to me. And we're going to see them in heaven. Is that because God was offended? It's because he loved them. And he knew that they forgive them, Father. They know not what they... It's because he wasn't imputing their trespasses against them. Wouldn't it be just like God to have one of the Pharisees that was standing there mocking saying, "Ah, he said, I'm the Son of God. He saved others. Let him save himself. Come down from the cross if you're the Son of God." Wouldn't it be just like God to have that fella in eternity? Oh, I so hope he's there. That would be the mercy and glory of God, wouldn't it? Here's what humanity does. Oh, now you see I'm God, so now you want to come to me. Yeah, now, see? Real knucklehead that day, weren't you? Huh. You're really a jerk, weren't you? Well, I hope you're happy now, acting like a fool when I really was God all along. And now you want me to let you in? Now that you have a revelation, you should have known better then. I told you for 3 years. Come on, that's how we treat each other. We take that word accountable and hold one another accountable. You should have known better. Yeah, probably should have. Right? Oh, God, help us. Thanks, Papa. I want to read something and we'll close. I'm going to read almost a whole chapter and we'll close. Oh, no, I'm going to do it. Who laughed so loud on this side? Was that you, Dean? It sounded like you, was it? I corrupted you. Well, I'm going to redeem you right now. 2 Peter chapter 1, I just want to read it. Yeah. It's hard to read this chapter, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to tempt and test myself in this. I just want you to just listen. You know, you don't always have to teach and preach in between the words. Sometimes reading the word is so powerful if you just read it. And I'm just trusting there's a grace that'll just unlock this thing. But watch this. And then we'll just wrap up. Simon, y'all there? 2 Peter chapter 1? 2 Peter, yep, chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to read to verse 15. You ready? You better stay with me. We're not stopping. Huh? I'm going to make it to 3. Oh, let me read 3. Oh, God. 2 and 1 is actually really good. Wait, what? This is legal. No, this is legal because I didn't start reading yet. See? See, no, watch. See, watch. You got to realize this. It actually tells you that faith in verse 1 comes from God's righteous judgment. So if you fail to receive His righteousness, no wonder you struggle believing God. Because faith works through love, and His love gave us a righteous identity. We have like precious faith by what? The righteousness of God. See how He authored your faith? By making you righteous and revealing His heart towards you. So He birthed faith through His crucifixion and resurrection. And His righteous judgment is what gives you the foundation to even believe anything and trust God. But people struggling with righteousness struggle with their faith life and trusting God because they don't see themselves the way He always sees them. Okay, you ready to read now? I didn't read nothing yet. But once I start, we ain't looking back, girl. Oh, man, you guys are hard. What a hard crowd. Even Miss Deb with the lollipop in her hand is just, we'll see. She's just, we'll see. You should have seen that. No faith whatsoever. Thank you, Dean. I appreciate it. Okay, read and be judged. Oh, I'm having so much fun. Okay, ready?
Yes.
Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. Godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things, he's short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Because if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it's right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off this flesh, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I'll be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Did you hear those last four verses? For this reason, I'm not going to be negligent. This is so powerful, Peter's saying. This is so impacting, life-changing. This is so foundational. This is chock full of everything you need to know. And for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. That's why you hear me preach these things over and over and over and over, because they did. And they understood its power. I'm telling you, I preach the same stuff. You hear me preach the same stuff over and over and over and over and over. I'll not be negligent to remind you. I won't be either. I'm going to do what the psalmist said and stand before him someday and say, Lord, I've preached righteousness in all your congregation. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness. right before God. I'll not be negligent to remind you. Watch. He's telling them, though you guys already know this and are established in this present truth. You guys, good job. You're walking this out. That's what he's saying. But he's still writing it. It's not an old sermon. It's not because he doesn't have fresh revelation. It's because he has the revelation. We don't need some more revelation. The revelation is Jesus, if you haven't figured it out. Jesus is the revelation. And we need a revelation of him. Okay? It's not some hidden morsel. If there is a morsel, it'll reveal him. It's all about him. The whole focal point of this book is the Lord Jesus Christ. From the prophecy in Genesis 3 to what life is like without him under the law, to the gospels, him on the earth, to the epistles of the church now that he's come, and then finally the revelation of Jesus. The whole way through, the focal point is Jesus. Don't you even read the Old Testament without looking through New Testament light. Yes, I think it's right as long as I'm alive. Man, this is me talking to you guys. To stir you up by reminding you this stuff. Man, if you fail to do this, it's because you've become sin conscious again, is what verse 9 says. You become discouraged by focusing on what you feel is still wrong with you. Instead of being encouraged by the righteous judgment of God Almighty. Come on. And he says, moreover, I love this verse. Moreover, man, you just want to hug Peter. Moreover, I'll be careful to ensure, God bless you, Peter, that you always have a reminder. He did a good job, didn't he? Because we're reading his letter in 2010. He did a good job, didn't he? He was a sincere one, wasn't he? Good job, Peter. Right? Moreover, I'll be careful to ensure you have as a reminder of these things after my decease. We have it. Father, we just thank you right now for the Word of God. We just thank you for what you're working in us and continue to work it under your good pleasure. We just praise you and thank you.